If you need a Bible, raise your hand because I want everyone to have a Bible this morning. If you want to take it home, and it's our gift to you, if you just need to borrow it for the morning, maybe leave it on your chair as you leave today, but our ushers would be happy to give you one of our Bibles. And also in your program is one of these blue inserts. I want you to take that out and follow along and take some notes, especially if you're in a Connect group, because our Connect groups are basically built around the Sunday morning sermon. And so in your groups, you're not going to be... Now listen, Connect groups are not the time that we go and criticize the pastor's sermon and say, well, this was bad, that was bad. That's easy to do. Do that on your own time, okay? But a Connect group is saying, listen, this is what we've heard this morning. How do I apply it? How do I really make this happen in my life? I heard that on Sunday morning. Sunday night we get together and say, okay, now I'm going to work tomorrow. How can I apply what we talked about on Sunday morning? So if you're in a group, you really want to follow along and take some notes and be able to contribute to the discussion tonight, and I know you'll be blessed. Well, I said it last week, and if you've been with us through this series, you know that Ephesians is 6 chapters long. The first 3 chapters are really about doctrine and what we believe and what is true about God. And I've told you it's like getting up in an airplane and looking out the window at 36,000 feet and getting the big picture of what God is doing in the world. And Paul took 3 chapters to talk about that, about these essential truths that we're blessed and we're chosen and we're predestined and we're adopted, we're accepted, we're redeemed, we're forgiven, we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. He talks about the mystery of the church, that Jew and Gentile, black and white, male and female come together to form one body of Christ. And Paul had the privilege of revealing this mystery to Ephesians and then also to us, of course. And we find also in the first 2 chapters that Paul prays a lot. Paul prays for his friends, and he kind of gives us a template and a guide to do that. But then we saw last Sunday, and as we began chapter 4, there's a definite shift, because Paul begins now to talk about live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. So Paul kind of says, listen, I'm going to land the airplane here for a while, and I'm going to kind of get down on ground level and say, now, all that is true. You've been adopted, you've been redeemed, you've been forgiven, you've been called. All that's true. Now, how do we live that out? How do I live a life worthy of this calling? How do I really make it happen in my life? And so we saw that last Sunday. We're going to kind of continue all the way through. As we go through chapters 4 and 5 and 6, you'll find very practical teaching. Paul talks about, listen, this is how you forgive people. This is how you love people. He spends time in chapter 5 talking about marriage and family and kids. He spends time in chapter 6 talking about the weapons of our warfare and spiritual warfare. I mean, it's just exciting, exciting stuff. And that's where we're headed for the next several weeks. So I hope you won't miss it. But Paul kind of begins to say, okay, now that we know all that is true about God and about us, we've been called, we've been redeemed, all those are true. Now, okay, now how do I live it out? How do I make my life different on Monday and on Wednesday and all throughout the week? And so this morning, as you look in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16, I'm going to ask my friend John to come on up. He's our reader this morning. Let's stand together. Out of respect for God's word, we want to stand as it's being read to us this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. 7 through 16. And listen, as John reads, listen for words that have to do with growth and maturity and building up and growing together. I want you to listen for those kind of words. All right.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love, and each part does its work.
Amen. 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 Good job, John. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Thank you, John, for reading our text. Boy, there's a lot of good stuff in there, isn't there? And I'm going to do my best to be done by 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon, so just hold on. Hope you brought a lunch this morning. It's going to be one of those, no, I'm just joking. But here's the truth. No matter where we are in our journey today, we all have the same spiritual goal. If you are a brand new believer in Jesus, and maybe you were baptized this morning, or I had people even before service say, I need to be baptized, so we'll do it again in a couple weeks. I mean, you may just be brand new in your faith, or you've been walking with God for 40, 50, or 60 years. It doesn't matter. We're all heading the same direction. We all have the same goal. At least we should. And that goal is really simple. That goal is what we call spiritual maturity. It's called being mature. It's called being like Jesus. We're all going in the same direction. That's why church is so wonderful, because we don't have to compare or contrast and say, well, this is how far I am along, or this is how far you are along. No, we're all going on the same journey. We're all going to the same place. We all have the same goal, the same destination, and that's to be like Jesus. And so we ought to encourage each other in that. Like I said before, it doesn't matter whether you're brand new to South Point or you've been here a long, long time, whether you're a new believer, you just came back to Jesus, or you've been faithful for years and years, it doesn't matter. We're all going in the same direction, and that goal is called spiritual maturity. For some of you that are here and you say, Pastor, I'm brand new in Jesus, I want to say I'm so excited for that truth. We don't look down at you because maybe you haven't been around as long as some of the others of us. We don't think you're any less than because maybe you're still struggling with something. We're just glad you're on the journey with us. And to those that have been walking with God for a long, long time, let me say, don't get complacent. Don't feel like you've arrived. You haven't. As long as you're still here, as long as you're breathing, God has something for you to grow toward and become. I want you to know none of us have arrived. None of us are perfect. None of us have gotten to a place where God says, okay, that's good enough. You can just pause right there. You could be the most godly person in this room, but you know what? God's got more for you, and there's more for us to go towards and grow towards. And I want to encourage you today to keep on going for it. So Paul lays out a contrast here. He lays out a warning. Did you catch it? He says, infants, don't be like an infant, but be mature. In fact, look at verse 14 again with me, will you please? Verse 14 says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemings. Listen, everyone loves babies. I love babies, but you know what? I don't want to be a baby. I love babies. I love holding babies. I'm a grandpa. I just love that, you know? But I don't want to be one. I'm glad that I've grown past that stage of my life in every way. Aren't you? And Paul here says, listen, there's a contrast here. You can be a baby, but don't stay there. You know, we celebrate the growth markers in life, don't we? You know, I wish my wife was here because she could show you on her phone. We've got videos, in fact, we saw it in person, of our little one-year-old grandson, Nixon, learning how to walk. Isn't that cool? Man, just great to see this little guy, and he's just a go-getter, so he's just, you know, he's not going to walk long. He's going to start running pretty soon, right? And we celebrate that. And then my son is getting ready to graduate from university and become a teacher, and I'm so excited about that. And so we celebrate things like that. And those two statements just cost me $10, but guess what? It was worth it, okay? It was worth it. But Paul says some people are infants. They're tossed to and fro by every scheming and every false teacher and everything that just kind of sounds good. Listen, when we don't take time to learn God's word for ourselves, we don't take time to grow towards spiritual maturity, we can be deceived, we can be confused, we can be led down the wrong trail by false teachers. In fact, it's true if you think about false religions and false prophets and false teachers, their biggest fishing pond is people that go to church and they can say something, well, that sounds kind of good, that sounds pretty right, that sounds okay, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a false cult or a false teaching because it sounds familiar, it sounds pretty good, and if we don't know the Word of God for ourselves, we can be led down the trail where we don't want to go. Infants are easily swayed and easily distracted and easily confused. Mature people aren't. Mature people, we use words like they're grounded or they're rooted or they're solid in their faith and nothing is going to shake them. That's where we want to go. That's where we want to be. In fact, Paul, in his very last letter that he wrote that we have, 2 Timothy, I'll put it up here on the screen for you, 2 Timothy, he gives a very strong warning about false teachers. He says, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, South Point, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. And then Paul is done with that letter and he's done with his life. His last words to the church, look out for false teachers. And so that's what we have here in Ephesians 4. Paul says some people are infants and they're tossed here and there by everything that they hear and everything that comes across the internet. Everything that comes across, you know, the false teaching. And Paul says, we don't want to be like that. So let's ask ourselves a better question and a more positive question. And you see that there in your notes. It's taken me a while to get there, but look at your notes. What does spiritual maturity look like? If we don't want to be infants, if we don't want to be babies, if we want to move towards that goal that we all ought to be moving towards, let's kind of define it. What are we headed towards? I mean, spiritual maturity, that sounds so vague. Like, you know, what does that mean? Do I have to start wearing different clothes and talking weird? Or, you know, what does that mean, spiritual maturity? So let's kind of walk through this. And I think probably the best way to do it is to kind of take some of the myths and blow them apart. Okay? So follow with me. Number one, it's a myth that maturity is automatic once you follow Jesus. That's a myth. If you think, well, I'll just kind of follow Jesus and kind of put my thing on cruise control and I'll go to church once in a while and I'll even maybe put some money in the offering and I'll do that and I'll just kind of grow as a Christian. Listen, that's not going to get you where you want to go. Spiritual maturity does not come to us automatically. Now, here's some. You want to hear some good news this morning? We're all getting older. In fact, think about this. You've never been as old as you are right now. Oh, that's depressing. Why did I come to church this morning? Well, it's true. We can't help getting older, but we've got to do something about becoming mature. Being older does not make you mature. There are some people at 65 that make the same mistakes they made when they were 25. That's a sad thing. When I'm 65, I want to make different mistakes than I made when I was 25. And just because we get old doesn't mean we get mature. And the same thing is true in our spiritual walk. In fact, here's the truth. Maturity takes effort. If you're going toward the goal of spiritual maturity, and I hope you are, listen, let me tell you, you've got to put some effort in your spiritual life. Amen. Effort that goes beyond even just going to church. Because now, you know, you can be here this morning and you're physically here, but you're mentally could be 1,000 miles away. Amen. And sometimes I can see it on your face. No, I'm just joking. You know, it's just, say, well, I'll just kind of show up at church and kind of, listen, if you're not putting effort into your spiritual growth, you're probably not going to get to where you want to be. Some followers of Jesus have just not grown. I mean, they've been just, you know, they've been followers for a long time, but they're not making any progress, while others have been followers for a short time, and they seem to be far beyond them on the road to spiritual maturity. What makes a difference? The difference is this. It's effort. It's not automatic. It's effort. Listen, 40 years with Jesus can mean the same year 40 times repeated. That's not what God wants. He doesn't want you learning the same lessons you learned last year. He wants to take you to new places and show you new things and new growth. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says it this way, and it's there in your notes. He said, you've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. Do you hear the frustration there? Listen, guys, you've been with Jesus for 40 years. Why don't you do something? No, because you've been doing the same thing for 40 years. You got to put some effort into your spiritual life. Listen, with some folks, they still are drinking milk. You just have to part their mustache to get the bottle in. Nobody here, of course. I just heard about other churches, right? I got to move on. Number two. Here's another myth. Maturity is instant if you find the right secret. Boy, doesn't that plug into our culture? If I could just find the right secret, I could be instantly spiritually mature. I mean, if I could just find the right thing, if I could find that verse in the Bible, if I could have that preacher lay his hand on my forehead and touch me, if I could just instantly I'd be spiritually mature. 3 days to this, or 30 days to this, or 3 easy steps to this. Listen, the truth is maturity takes time. Now let me pause here. I'm not, listen, here's a great line that I didn't make up, so I'll give you permission to use it, okay? God sometimes works in the microwave. Aren't you thankful for that? But God sometimes works in the crock pot. And there are times when God instantly does things in our lives, and you may have been addicted to cigarettes or pornography or whatever, and God touches you, and that addiction is gone. You never think about it again. Aren't you thankful for that? And God does that. But God doesn't always do that. Sometimes God says, I'm not going to put you in the microwave, I'm going to put you in the crock pot. And as human beings, we don't like the crock pot as well, because how many of you know we want things yesterday? And sometimes we get frustrated and think, well, how come, you know, listen, sometimes it takes time. God uses both the microwave and the crock pot, but I haven't found too many secret miracles in the Christian life, you know, secret cures, like three easy steps to spiritual maturity. Sometimes it just takes walking with God and putting in the effort and reading His Word and praying when you don't feel like it and going to church when you don't feel like it and serving people when you'd rather be served yourself. And sometimes it just takes good old-fashioned efforts. Another myth, number three. You know, this is a big one. Maturity is all about what I know. It's all about what I know. Boy, if I could just read one more book, if I could just do this and do that and go to that seminar. Listen, God is not against any of that. Of course not. God wants you to know all that you can know. But here's the danger. Sometimes we put our faith in what we know. God is not impressed with people who know a lot but do little with it. How do you know that Satan knows the Bible pretty well? And if my thing is, well, I just need to learn the Bible better and then I'll be good. Listen, maturity really is more about what I do. It's more about what I do. Now, again, I'm not anti-knowing. We all need to know. But listen, if I'm just getting head knowledge and just kind of building up more and more head knowledge and I've read more books and I've been to more seminars and pretty soon I can become just like a Pharisee who knows a lot but doesn't do anything with it. The truth is, maturity is all about what I do. And the Bible warns us again and again about not being just a hearer of the Word, but being a what? Doer of the Word. And so don't think that maturity, you'll get to the place where you have a big old, you know, big old Bible you carry around and notepads and everything, and that's all that it's all about. Listen, nothing wrong with that. I'm all for education and learning more, but there's a warning about being a hearer and not a doer. And sometimes spiritual maturity isn't about how smart you are, how many books you've read, how many classes you've been to. I think the Lord would rather have someone that says, you know what, I may not know a lot, but I'm here to serve Jesus every day. Every time my feet hit the floor in the morning, I'm all about serving the Lord. Even in our statement, we talk about connect, grow, and serve. And grow isn't just growing in head knowledge, it's growing in love. Growing in love. So one more myth. Let's go on. The last myth here is maturity is personal and private. Don't ask me about my spiritual relationship. Don't talk to me about Jesus, you know, how I'm doing. You know, that's personal. It's none of your business. You know, it's like religion and politics. We don't talk about those things, and we just kind of say, you know, just leave me alone. Listen, the truth is maturity happens in relationships. You've heard us say it again and again in the letter of Ephesians. It's all about being together and in relationships. Listen, if you and I are ever going to be spiritually mature, we need the person sitting next to us. In fact, turn to that person right now and say, you know what? I need you. I need you. If I'm going to get to where God wants me to get, if I'm going to become the person Jesus wants me to be, I'm going to need you in my life to encourage me, to hold my feet to the fire, to knock me in the head once in a while if I need that, you know. We need each other. Spiritual maturity is not saying I'm going to go to the top of the mountain and just kind of just commune me and God all together, all alone, forever and ever. It's about living life in relationship. I've got rough edges in my life that you can rub off and vice versa. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. So all these myths kind of help us understand what maturity is not. Let's talk about, summarize very quickly in one phrase what it is. Are you ready? Verse 13 says it. It says, until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, there's that word, attaining what? Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Maturity is all about becoming like Jesus. Now, I could have said that a long time ago, but I wanted to let you know what it's not before we talk about what it is. It's about becoming like Jesus. That's what Paul says here. We become more and more and more like Jesus. That's why we can say, listen, there's some very godly people, wonderful people in this room, but listen, none of us are just like Jesus. Wouldn't you agree? We all have some shortcomings. We all have some rough edges. We all have some things that just aren't quite where they need to be. And we're all on the journey together to become like Jesus. So let me move quickly to three things that Paul says that'll help us to reach spiritual maturity. Now that we know what it's not and we know what it is, let's go back and kind of look at some details here. Number one, I become spiritually mature when I'm trained by gifted people. I become mature when I'm trained, when I hang around with gifted people. Now, Jesus, we saw in the first part of our text, he ascended, and he's victorious. He's the ruler and reign over the universe. And he's the gift giver. Jesus gives gifts to his people. And here we see in verse 11, I'll read it again just to remind you. It was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service. God gives gifts to all of us. His good gifts are all around us today. Let me give you some examples. This morning when you came in to this room, there was a team of folks up here on the instruments and on the microphones leading us into worship. They are God's good gift to us. They helped us to enter into the presence of the Lord. And that we could say, thank you, God, for giving us people who are gifted, who are willing to serve, who are talented. And that is your gift to us to help us to mature, to help us to worship. Those folks we had up earlier, both groups, the board, and also the Connect group leaders, these are folks that are God's gift to us. They're serving. They're giving their time. They're giving their effort. God has gifted them to serve, and they're serving us. And so here you go. Go up to one of them and say, wow, you are a great gift of God to me. Amen. Maybe not. You're not sure about that. Okay. Now, let me say something that's going to sound self-serving, but I don't mean it that way. Your pastors are your gift to you as well. Now, I'm not telling you that, and some of you are saying, well, if you're my gift, where's the gift receipt so I can return it and, you know, get somebody else? Okay, no, you can't do that. But, you know, the idea that God gives us gifts to help us. Now, again, that's not self-serving because I can think of pastors and teachers who have helped me get to where I am. And so God says, these are folks we give to you to help you to get to spiritual maturity. And listen very carefully. This is my job description as your pastor. Do you realize that it comes right out of Scripture? This is what I'm supposed to do. You may wonder, what does he do all week? I mean, I see him on Sunday morning, and then, you know, he shows up again on Sunday morning. And the Bible says my job as your pastor is to train you to do what God's called you to do, to prepare God's people for works of service. Because you can reach people that I can't reach. You can touch people that I can't touch. And my job, if I can encourage you and train you and help you and set you free to do what God's called you to do, how many of you, that's a lot better plan than say, well, pastor can do it. That's what we pay him for. It's pastor's job to go to every hospital and visit every person who's sick. It's pastor's job to pray for every person that's struggling. It's pastor's job to be here every Monday morning and, you know, do all that. Listen, that's not the way the church really works. Now, maybe if the church was small, but that's maybe why the church stays small, if the pastor does everything. You see, my job is to train you to do what God's called you to do. Otherwise, the church becomes like a football game, where you've got 80,000 people in the stands desperately in need of exercise, watching 22 people on the field desperately in need of rest, you know. And the idea is, well, go, pastor, go, you do that, you know. And we're kind of sitting in the stands, you know, eating another hot dog. No, that's not going to work. God says, my job is to train you and to help you and to encourage you. And then together, again, we can do the work of God together. Are you with me? Yeah. Amen. Number two, I become mature, listen, with both truth and love. Truth and love together. Verse 15, I love this. It says, speaking the truth in love. Now, we talk about this verse a lot. And I don't want to take a long time with this because even in our membership lunch last week, we got together and talked about this. Do you want to hear some great news, by the way? So last Sunday we had a membership lunch. I think we had 8 people signed up for it, which is great. That's a wonderful number. And we were excited about hanging out with them after church and talking about membership. And I was in a conversation with somebody, and my wife came out, and she just had this panic look on her face. She said, we do not have enough food. There are 36 people in here for membership lunch. Now, listen, how do you know that's a good kind of problem to have? And so we said, no, it's not going to be a membership fast. We're not going to eat. No, we didn't. We prayed. Listen, we had enough food. God stretched it. We even had leftovers. I don't know how it worked, but it worked out great. And we had a great response. And so we're looking forward to a great new group of folks joining us. Isn't that good news? God's on the move here at South Point. But anyway, we talked about that even in our membership lunch because conflict happens in churches. Doesn't it? And so Paul says we need to speak the truth in love. We need both truth and love. Now, let's just take a quick survey. How many of you are mostly truth people? You have no problem telling people what you really think. Anybody? Okay, yeah, be honest. I mean, don't ask these people about your new haircut or your new outfit because they will tell you exactly what they think, okay? They are just going to let, the Bible says speak the truth, you know, and they're going to let you have it. How many of you know sometimes being brutally honest is more brutal than honest, right? You know anybody like that? It's like, well, I'll tell you what I think. So speak the truth, but that's not all it says. It says speak the truth in love. Some people are more love people. Let me see your hand if you're just more concerned about people's feel. Oh, yeah, there we go. These are people you want to talk to. If you're hurting, you know, they're going to say, oh, it's okay. You're going to be all right. They're the people that are concerned. In fact, their problem may be they're so concerned about not hurting your feelings that they may not tell you the truth. They may not tell you that, hey, you know, you really need to make some changes here. So Paul says the answer, and the answer we want to have at South Point in our lives, is we want to speak the truth, how? In love. Have them both together. Now, the way that I've illustrated this before, and again, I'm not going to take a lot of time with this because we've talked about this before, is that these truth people, think of them as truth tellers. They're blue people. I mean, they're just blue. They're just going to tell you the truth, and they're going to not varnish it, and they're going to tell you what they think, and they say, well, that's what the Bible says to be true, to be truth tellers. And then there's some people that are naturally kind of yellow people, right? And they're just concerned with other feelings and hurting feelings, and they don't want to make anybody upset. So here's the goal. I think we've got a slide that illustrates this. Here's the goal. The great theologian Kermit the Frog said this, right? It's not easy being green. And the goal is, what happens if you put yellow and blue together? You get green. So we talk a lot here about having green conversations. In other words, I'm going to tell you the truth, but I want to do it in love. I'm going to tell you what God's word says. I'm going to tell you what you know you need to hear. But I'm not going to run you over with a forklift. I'm not going to just, you know, plow you over. We're going to be able to do it in love. How do you know this is going to help you in your marriage, in your families, on the job, to learn to speak the truth in love? Now, is it always easy to keep that balance? No. I mean, maybe we have our own personality. Maybe it's more blue or more yellow, you know. But to get that green, we need to say, Lord, help me to speak the truth in love. And Paul here says that we become mature when we learn how to do that. Speaking the truth in love is a sign of maturity. So write this down. Being green means being mature. In other words, this idea of being able to not just be a truth teller that runs people over and not being a yellow person that just kind of, you know, never says anything to hurt anybody's feelings, but finding that balance, saying, Lord, help me. And I'll know I'm going toward maturity when I'm able to put those two together, the blue and the yellow, to make green and say, you know what, that's where God wants us to be. One of my favorite authors, I put a quote, John R.W. Stott, truth becomes hard if it's not softened by love. Love becomes soft if it's not strengthened by truth. Isn't that good? We need both of them together. And Paul here talks about that we become mature when we speak the truth in love. Okay, number three, I need to wrap it up. Number three. I become mature, lastly, when I serve. I become mature when I serve. Now, you might be surprised by that. Say, well, Pastor, I thought I'd become mature when I listen and when I, you know, when you tell me things and I become mature. No, maturity is all about, again, what I do. And so if you want to grow spiritually, let me give you some help here. If you want 2019 to be your greatest year in spiritual growth, find a place to serve. I mean, serve like never before. Get involved. It could be in the church. It could be outside the church. It could be in your neighborhood. It could be somewhere. Say, I want to serve. And I can almost guarantee that you will grow like never before, because we grow, we become mature when we serve. Look what verse 16 says. It says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So Paul here compares the church to a body, and he says each part does its work and it grows and builds itself up. How? As each part does its work. So my challenge to you this morning is to say, are you doing your part? Are you doing what God's called you to do? Listen, you have something to offer the body. You do. Some people say, well, I can't do anything to serve. I'm no good. Listen, every person here can serve the body of Christ. Amen. Now listen, it doesn't always have to be up front. Some of you say, Pastor, I would be terrified to be in front of people. How many of you are like that? Raise your hand. How many of you are afraid even to raise your hand, okay? You just don't even want to do that. No problem. There are tricked you, didn't I? There are 1,000 places and ways for you to serve the body of Christ that never include anybody even knowing your name or seeing your face. How about this? Why don't you pray? You can pray. I mean, don't minimize that. You could be you could lift up your church in prayer daily, and you'll be serving the body of Christ in ways that you'll never even imagine. And you could do it in secrecy. You can do it in private. Listen, no one joins a team hoping they sit on the bench. No one goes out for sports in high school saying, well, I want to make the team and I want to make the football team and my goal is to have a clean uniform at the end of every game. I guarantee if you go through the work of joining a football team, you'll want to get your uniform dirty. I played baseball in high school, and I wasn't the best. But I love baseball. I love to play, and there was a couple games when maybe I didn't get in the game. I would take dirt and rub it into my knees so it looked like I did something besides just sitting on the bench. Amen. No one joins it. And listen, no one should get involved in a church. No one comes and serves the Lord and says, well, Lord, I hope you just let me kind of sit on the bench. No. You'll grow, you'll become mature as you serve. Listen, it's not just about, well, serving the church. One day, all of us will stand before God. Think about this. And I'll close with this thought. One day we'll all stand before God. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? And we won't stand with our spouse, we won't stand with our pastor, we won't stand with our Connect group leader, we'll stand there by ourselves. And the good news is, if I'm a follower in Jesus, you know what? If I've given my life to him, he'll never ask me about the sin I've committed. So forget it. You know, if you're a follower of Jesus, he's not going to ask you, why'd you do this and why'd you do that? And why? Listen, let me hear somebody get excited about that our sins will never be brought before us. But the Bible says there will be an evaluation of our life. And the evaluation will consist of this. What did you do with what I gave to you? We talked about it. We've talked about it a lot here, but even just last fall, we talked about it when we talked about, you know, it's not mine. It's not mine. God's given you gifts, and they're not yours. And we'll stand before God, and God will say, this is what I gave you. I gave you these spiritual gifts. I gave you these resources. I gave you these financial gifts. I gave you this time. I gave you this influence. Now you tell me, what did you do with it? And the worst thing that we could imagine would be for us to say, God, I didn't do anything with it. I buried it. I didn't use your gifts. I didn't use them to serve your body. I didn't use them to serve my neighborhood. God, and what will be the answer at that point? It's too late. We can't go back. And so I plead with you as your pastor and as your friend and say, God, you've given me gifts. How can I use them to serve you? And if I find a way to serve you, it could be, you know, again, 100 different ways, but I want to serve you and God, and then we'll be rewarded for the way that we serve him. So I want you to understand, it's not your pastor's not trying to get you to sign up to serve, you know, in the nursery next week. I'm not trying, this is not a recruitment sermon. You know, obviously we have needs, we have things that need to happen here, and if you want to do that, that's great. But the bigger picture is this, we'll all answer to God for the way we've lived our lives and the way we've used what he's given to us. And Paul here says that we become mature when I learn how to serve. Listen, he compares us to ligaments. Then you say, well, pastor, that's a small thing. No one will notice if I don't do my job. Have you know that if you tear your ligament, you're going to notice it? I've never done it, but I've heard it's very painful. And so don't say, well, I'm just one person. It's just a small thing. Listen, God's given you gifts. He wants you to use them to serve him. And if you do, you're going to grow like never before. So here's the, let me wrap up. Here's the clear goal, spiritual maturity, to be like Jesus. How do we get there? Well, we don't get there by just head knowledge or just by, you know, sitting back and letting time go by. It takes effort. It takes energy. It takes relationships. It takes community. How you doing? How you doing in that? Are you putting the effort it's going to take for you to get to where God wants you to go? Do you embrace in your conversations both truth and love? Are you striving to be spiritually mature? Are you using the gifts that God's given you to build up his kingdom and to shine a light in the world? Only you can answer those questions. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? And close your eyes. And I'm going to ask everyone just to hold tight and just allow God to speak to your heart right now for just a moment. With no one looking around you, I want you to just take a moment and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. It may be about one of these myths that you thought were getting you where you wanted to go, and you realize, you know what, it's not working for me. I need to understand what spiritual maturity is all about. And the Lord's speaking to you about that this morning. It may be, quite honestly, you'd say, Pastor, I'm not serving like I should. God's given me gifts. He's given me financial resources. He's given me time. He's given me abilities, and I'm kind of not using them like I should. But I want to change that. I want 2019 to be the greatest year of spiritual growth for me, and I know part of that's going to be serving. Or maybe you're thinking, well, you know, I just need to be all by myself and I don't need relationships. But God's talking to you saying, you know what, you need to be connected. You need to be in relationship with people that you can help and that can help you. And maybe your goal right now is say, Lord, move me out of isolation into community. Help me to find a place of connection with people here at South Point. Help me to find a place where I'm not just sitting back and receiving, but I understand that pastor's job is to train and teach me so I can do what God's called me to do. Maybe God's lighting a fire in your heart to say, that's the kind of life I want to live. I want to serve. I want my life to count. I want my life to make a difference. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here this morning. It's been so obvious that you've been here today through our worship and our baptism and in the sermon, Lord. So speak to us right now, Father, about our lives. Only you can talk to us about what's next for us. We all have the same goal of spiritual maturity. We're all going in the same direction, but God, we all have a different spot right now that you're talking to us about. So Lord, we want to open our hearts to you and say yes. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm not going to ask you specifically, but you'd raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. God's speaking to me right now about something that we've heard about this morning. Yes. Lots of hands being lifted. God's speaking to your heart. He's talking to you about something. Amen. Father, you see the hands that are lifted this morning. And Father, only you know what you're saying to them, and I trust you with it. I trust you, God, to speak to them and clarify to them the next steps they need to take. Thank you for your word and for the way it illumines our path and shows us how to go. Father, I pray for each one of us that 2019 will be the greatest year yet of spiritual growth, that we'd be closer and closer to that goal of spiritual maturity, God, because we're being trained and released and equipped, and we're speaking the truth in love, and we're serving you like never before. You're going to move us forward. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want to encourage you, and many of you lifted your hand. I saw many, many hands lifted today. Say, God, what's my next step? And do not delay, not say, well, yeah, I'll get around to that next week. Listen, do something about that today. Take advantage of the Bible says now is the time. So I want to encourage you to take that next step with the Lord. Amen? Maybe it's something on your Connect card you want to jot it down and share with me. We'll read those over and pray over them. If you got a message you want to share with me, jot it down. If you want to be baptized or serve in the church somehow, let us know about that. And we want to help you take that next step. Amen. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward now as we wait upon you for the Sunday morning tithes and your offerings to the work of the Lord. Has God been good to you this week? Amen. Every day is a gift he gives to us. We want to make sure to put him first in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you for your faithful giving. It's really making a difference here at South Point and really all around the world. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us and your blessing. Father, I pray you bless this offering as we receive it. Lord, for those, Lord, that you're moving on their hearts, Lord, help them to take that next step with you. Thank you for that you're leading all of us on this goal, this journey, and we can take it together. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you give.